This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Kulin Nation, on whose land sovereignty was never ceded. We pay respects to their elders past, present and future, and to the brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI Indigenous community. That was Chicks and Dicks by Junior Senior. You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, where the show for all the multigender attracted community, for your bis, your pans, your queers, we're here for you. I'm Ruby.
I'm James.
And we are joined by our very special guest tonight, which is Zach McSweeney, or, as he prefers to go by very often, Fembot XY.
A fembot XYZ, actually.
Fembot XYZ.
Yeah, I get an extra chromosome because I'm special.
And the extra chromosome, which apparently is usually only found in birds, so...
Oh God, am I going to get some kind of flu?
You might get wings.
Or you're a peacock. I think I may have already caught that before I decided to do drag.
The avian one, which apparently was going to kill us all and then did nothing. Anyway, happy Easter, everyone. It is officially the end of the chocolate holiday, which is kind of just what I assume Easter is for everybody. I know it's not, but that's what it is for me.
Yeah, pretty much.
I didn't actually eat a whole lot of chocolate. I was at Confest, and there wasn't much chocolate at the festival, though there were two men in big rabbit onesies walking around handing out eggs to the kids, which is really cute.
Oh, my God, I would have just eaten them. Oh, my God, I'm already inappropriate. I'm sorry.
No, it's totally fine. I'm sure that they had plenty of that in the Rainbow Village.
Oh, amazing.
Very good. I thought it was great that it was a Rainbow Village. What was interesting for me is because Confest has been going for 72 years.
Oh, 72 years.
72 years.
Oh. I don't think that's quite right. I think it might have started in 72, possibly.
So 42 years?
Yeah, 40. Well, that'd be 46,
it was in the 70s. Like basically, that. It's full of 70s hippies who have just kept going. So I heard all about crop circles. Didn't know much about those. Still don't, but I've heard what people think they are. But also, a lot of friends of mine, Confess was one of the first places they could go to that felt accepting for queer people, particularly when they're teenagers.
One of the great things about Confest is that there's a big sign at the gate when you come in that just says "Welcome Home," and yeah, I haven't been for a few years, but back when I used to go regularly, that was like every time it was just
Burning Seed also does that because it's started up by Confest aficionados. Now that you might notice that my voice is a little raspy tonight because it was also very dusty and I inhaled most of it.
I'm loving it. It's very sticky shoes.
Oh, thank you. It's very. I thought more like Emma Stone, but I'll go with that one too.
I feel like you should be reading out a 0055 number on late night TV.
Yeah, maybe, possibly. Though I don't watch much late night TV anymore. That's because Netflix is a thing. Watched a lot of that when I got home. That was my de-stress thing. I'm like, I'm just going to watch Santa Clara Diet Season 2 because Drew Barrymore is my favourite. And I found out through James, Drew Barrymore was one of the first actresses to come out as bisexual.
Yeah, well, I don't. There may have been others before her, but of the sort of modern generation of actors
like
and actresses. Yeah, she came out in 2003, like quite openly, and was not at all sort of shy about it. And she used the B word, which so many people are reluctant to use.
Now, I'm also going to say a quick thanks to a really great show with Urban Dreaming. They did an interview with Linda Thorpe, the Indigenous MP. And if you want to check that out, there'll be a podcast available at joy.org.au/urban-dreaming or on iTunes.
And they played some awesome tunes too.
Banging tunes. We've got some of those lined up too, thanks to Zach.
Yes.
You can also check out iPodcast too on iTunes. You can also message us if you want to join this conversation. We'll be talking about drag culture because Zach is a up and coming. You know, you've got your training wheels are off at this point, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they're very much off, I'm on the decline now. Thank God.
On the decline, you peaked and you're down. It's a short lifespan.
Oh, it's very much a short term ejaculation kind of thing.
No one's told that to Dolly Diamond.
is there a refractory period? Are you then going to start coming up again?
A bit
of a plateau. I do shave my hair at one point and, like, you know, throw umbrellas at cars, and then I come back up with a bit of a residency. They call it the Britney Spears phenomenon.
Should I record a YouTube video going, leave Fembot alone?
Yes, please. I'll definitely repost it.
Amazing. And then we'll get Seth Green to do it as well. If you want to join the conversation, if you've got any questions about what it's like to be a bi boy in drag, message us on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. James is, of course, manning Twitter. So, looking at him pointedly, he will be manning the Twitter.
I'm nodding. This is great radio.
And you can find us on Triple Bypass. That's with an I, and also on Facebook at Triple Bypass. On Joy, please join in the conversation. We always love to hear from you. Now, before we are about to head off quite soon for our first break, but I would like to get started by saying, when I first met Zach.
Oh, here we go.
When I first met gorgeous Zach, we were both 17, and we were at the very hot and sweaty underground party that Minus 18 was back in, 2006?
Oh, God, you're getting too far back in time for me.
I think back in time for everybody. So yeah. This was back when Minus 18 was just all underground, so you were only found about through your friends. Like, it was organised, and there were people handing out, like, pamphlets and signs saying no homophobia. And as the openly bi gal I was, I wandered in there and ended up hooking up with a very cute blonde boy. Guess who that was? Guess who thought he was straight?
Oh, I thought I was straight, but I'm definitely not straight. Boys and girls and everyone in between and on top and underneath.
But Zach was my first boyfriend.
Yes. Oh, my God. I think you were my second girlfriend.
Mm.
My second girlfriend.
You lived very far away. You lived very long away, and it ended very amicably. And then we both ended up being in uni at the same university, ended up making a film together. And back then, you still thought you were straight.
Yeah.
So that was like the last time we really hung out.
I'm sorry, I do need to ask. How?
What do you mean how? Anybody think that?
Anyone who's checked out, so Fembot XYZ is on Facebook and Instagram. And again, it's hard to look at those pictures and kind of be like, how could this incredible person have ever thought they were straight?
Not to propagate stereotypes or anything, but how?
And so, but I think particularly that's where you get into the idea of bi.
Of course.
And like, I like girls. So I probably like girls.
Of course.
That's enough for me. Now, let's fill in the blanks. So what happened between the short film we both worked on at RMIT?
Yes.
And you being in the studio with me now in a gorgeous pink top.
I'm decked out in all of the pastel pink, guys.
With the Japanese, which I've noticed is a bit... Is that
it says on my pastel pink long sleeve t-shirt, death is my friend.
And they've made the Reaper cute, which is very Japanese of them.
I just love it.
So how did you... I've always been curious, how do people get into drag? How does that journey happen? Did you come out first?
It actually goes way deep into my sexuality, because I believe anyone that does drag has something to communicate in an extension of their gender or sexuality or a combination of the both, I believe. So my drag is quite hyper, what you would call feminine. Mm-hmm. I don't really like to use the words masculine and feminine because they have got, you know, an assigned gender, whereas I think that they're energies that are, you know, beyond gender.
Yeah.
The energy of femininity is very powerful in my drag. And that's something that obviously I had repressed, thinking that I was a straight person for so many years. I'd pushed that femininity deep down into my soul, to the point where, yeah, I was changing my behavior, and then it got to a point where I was like, what is this? It needs to be released. And I was just so over it being pushed down for so long that it came out in the form of a woman, beautiful goddess.
It literally is like a personification of an alternate
self. It literally is. It's just hyper-femininity like released into the world.
Can I ask, was there a process for you sort of finding that persona? Was there a bit of a sort of experimental phase where you were like, you know, who is this persona? And like just trying out different things and seeing what felt right?
Well, you know what's funny? I think the first time I ever put makeup on and did a drag queen look, funnily enough, is that the last look I did 2 days ago, it had the same wig inside of, like, obviously, the first wig I ever put on, it was inside of the wig that I was wearing 2 days ago in amongst, like, two or three others. but the same, yeah, the exact same coloured wig, the exact same wig was in there. And that just goes to show that I haven't really changed from that first time that I did it. It just kind of came out and it was
your,
like,
contouring's just more on point.
Yeah, just a little bit more polished. Yeah.
It's curious you were talking about as far as, like, you know, before we went on about being bisexual, being very naturally inclined towards drag, because, of course, when you're multigender attracted, the roles of gender just seem even more artificial.
Yeah.
The fences are already... they've already got some holes in them.
Yeah, and then it's not hard to take a wrecking ball to it and put on a pair of very beautiful stilettos and some bunny ears, I think, just recently as well, and just knock that bastard down.
Uh-huh. I think just in this last year alone has been just a journey into what gender really is and the sort of colours in regards to sexuality. And I'm really glad that you contacted me, Ruby, because what you're doing, I think, is absolutely unbelievable. What you both are doing, James and Ruby. And it was exciting for me because having someone just acknowledge that part of my life and I was just like, oh, maybe what I am doing is sort of having an effect on some people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this year alone has just been really exploratory in regards to that. A lot of self-discovery.
We've got to get into that. That's such a good leeway point. So stick around. We'll be talking more about some self-discovery. This song is Fembot by Robin. That was a bit appropriate. Enjoy. This is Triple Bypass, and we, of course, listening on Joy 94.9.
Yes, Queen.
Rock it, baby. Got some news for you. got you all in check.
Listening to Joy 94.9, and you've tuned in for Triple Bypass. That show we just played was Fembot by Robin, and we're playing that because I'm very happy to say we are joined by the fantastic Zach Sweeney, or as is also known, Fembot XYZ.
Yes.
My name's Ruby.
I'm James.
And this is Zach.
And I'm Miss Van G. Sorry, I had to do it.
I'm guessing. So I've noticed that you actually, so we've been talking a bit about how Zach went from a boy who identified as straight that whose face I made out with when we were both 17 mm-hmm. and I was 18, to the extremely glorious gender-bending performance that you now give frequently, and how, you know, your own, like how you came, how that journey was for you, and particularly how your own bisexuality has affected gender enough to make you realize that you want to play with it as much as you do with your act.
Yes.
So what I'm curious about now is that we don't really hear about many bisexual drag queens, or there being much about that kind of discussion. It's always kind of very much coded as a gay thing. Is that what it's like behind the scenes and behind the heels, I guess?
Yeah, well, I think, like, for me, a lot more people believed that I was bisexual. I hate saying that, but yeah, people believed me more when I identified as a cisgender gay man. And then as soon as I put on the heels, as soon as I put on the wig, people were like, oh yeah, he's a gay, you know, cisgender man.
He's a gay man.
And I still experience that to this day. The more I do it, despite how often I say that I am bisexual and that I don't identify as a, you know, a gay man, people just don't believe me, really, and it's sad. And I always end up having to have, like, a conversation with the people that truly don't believe me, and that's always fun because I do really love talking about it. You know, I feel like it is an issue on the broader spectrum. Obviously, we need to somehow get the message out that
bisexuality is
real. It's real.
I'm surprised because I remember, so Anthony, who is one of our other hosts, who's been taking a leave and doing some producing for us. So he took me to Circuit, which is my first real experience of going to a drag show. And I remember watching this being like, well, this is extremely bisexual.
Oh, yeah.
Because you literally have, like, people embodying more than one gender. What could be more bi than that? If you're into that, then it's bisexual. And I guess I find interesting that a lot of gay men, like, you know, show a lot of attraction to drag queens, but don't see how that maybe suggests that their attraction is a little more fluid than they like to think. I'm not sure. Like, for me, I was just like, this is great. I love this. I love seeing a hot woman/man. I'm into all of it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the more you talk about it, the more my brain explodes with confusion. And I think that's the beauty around it, because the more that I started to break apart what drag meant and represented and how sexuality and gender fit into it truly, the more I tried to really define that and work it out, being the, you know, the OCD person that I am, the more I found my brain becoming so confused. And, oh, it was like a melting pot of just, you know, craziness.
But you were never confused about being bisexual?
No, not really. No, but because I think it's more so my definition of what bisexual meant transformed over the years.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people think that bisexual means you're attracted to both men and women, being those two binaries. But now I feel it represents what a lot of people would refer to as pansexual.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think that those two kind of blur together a lot. I'm not sure what your definitions of them are.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So that being said, I think that I would be more like pansexual, you know, attracted to all the colors of the rainbow. Doesn't matter who you are or what you have. And I think that's, I'm very lucky because, you know, the chances of running into someone that I click with might be greater. It might not be. I'm not sure. I don't even know.
Also, when you are with someone, you know it's because of you like who they are as a human being.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is very nice.
Yeah, and... it's a lot to even think about like this. There's just so much to think about.
Is that something that you kind of explore in your show? Like, is that like, is Fembot bisexual as well? Or is she very much into boys, or is she into just everybody, or is she into sequins?
Well, Fembot for me, I'll just start from the start. Fembot was, like I said, an extension of my femininity that I'd repressed.
Yeah.
So when I started to, express that femininity and it came out in my drag, I just started to embrace that side of myself and realize that it does. My femininity and masculinity don't define who I am as a person, and my gender or my sexuality. Really, it's just sort of who I am. But then, as I started to get into it, I realized that Fembot was actually far more important in my gender than I thought. It's actually an expression of my gender, and that's what a lot of drag queens, I think, repress. I feel like a lot of drag queens don't understand that in a lot of cases it is them expressing an aspect of their gender.
So almost like a personification of gender fluidity?
In a sense, yes. And if you were to look at, you know, the scale between man to woman, not that I actually believe in that scale, yeah. I believe that it exists above and below and around, and there's all sorts of different colors to the spectrum.
As Doctor Who would say, wibbly wobbly sexy wexy.
Yeah, oh my god, I love that. Oh, I want that on a t-shirt.
I'm sure that exists. There are a lot of Doctor Who t-shirts.
But yeah, the more that I started to have these types of conversations, the more I realized that, yes, Fembot is a character. She's this crazy, like, robotic, like, doll with face paint and all that. But then sometimes, just sometimes, I'd feel like a woman, or I would feel like something that wasn't a cisgender man. And I was like, am I really, like, embodying this character a little bit too much? Is this method acting? And then I realized, no, this is actually me expressing a little bit of, you know, a womanly power inside of me, or, like I should probably say, a little bit of something that isn't cisgender man. Yeah. Because it's not really a woman, it's just something else. I always like to think about this in a context. Mm-hmm. For example, we are in the context of this world, this binary world that we still live in, that's, you know, people are chipping away successfully and trying to break that down. But if we were to remove all of that, and if we lived in a world where gender really didn't exist, what would I be? And that's what I think that everyone should ask themselves. What would you be in the perfect world where you weren't born, let's say you were born without genitals, and you were just born as a thing?
Yeah,
what would you be?
I like to think one example that I saw, which was really interesting, was a woman was talking about her own struggles with her child being trans. And a therapist asked her, if you were living on a desert island, would you be okay with the person you think of as your son wearing dresses? And she was like, yeah. She's like, okay, so you're not afraid of your child being trans. You're afraid of what people think of your child being trans.
Mm.
And I think if you imagine, if you were on a desert island and you had a whole bunch of clothes out in front of you, you could wear whatever you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
How would you dress and how would you present and how would you feel? And it's not quite, you know, it's not a different reality, but it's giving people an idea of just how much of what we do and how much of how we present is to do with what we fear people will say.
Of course, it's how we've been brought up and raised.
Exactly.
Let's put it this way. I'm, you know, wearing this beautiful pastel pink t-shirt, and I was wearing a pastel pink jacket over the top. It's a bummer jacket.
It makes you look like a beautiful marshmallow.
I think so. I feel like a marshmallow, and I want to eat a marshmallow right now. But my point is, like, a couple of years ago, I may not have worn this because I may have feared what people thought about me. But now that I don't really care about that, I'm just kind of wearing that. But if I was to really think about it, like, what if I wanted to wear a dress? I probably can't right now because I still have that fear embedded within me. I wouldn't feel comfortable. And that comfortability is something that a lot of people need to start talking about more. It's something that the trans community is always talking about, that comfortability. Like, what are people doing to feel more comfortable within themselves and their gender expression? And how does that comfortability feed into what society is imposing upon us?
And it is funny because you hear a lot of people who are, you know, transphobic saying stuff like, you know, oh, well, you know, it's not real, or they're just doing it for attention, or, you know, what, all these sorts of minimizing, negating kind of things. And you just sort of think, this is a lot of effort and trouble to go to. This is a lot of sorrow people are inviting into their lives just to be true to themselves.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Think they do it for no real reason?
To be fair, you could say that about literally the entire queer community.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, you know, we still, like, go back on that thing of, I don't agree with using this born this way as an argument, because I do feel that it does take away our choices, and
yeah,
it reflects that we wouldn't be this way if we could choose, and I would not be straight for love or money. so that's a big part of it as well. But I think, you know, once we move past the idea of, like, you know, this huge effort put into being, like, saying, well, they want to stand out. And it's like, we put ourselves at a huge risk when we do those things.
Of course.
Yeah, Ruby, look, I think I'm fine with people being straight, but, you know, I couldn't do that.
I just couldn't live that way. I don't want them to impose their lifestyle on me. That's all I'm saying. All right, guys, this song is Mariabelle?
This is Maribel Inez. I would just say queer, because I'll just label everyone as queer.
Queer till proven otherwise.
Yeah, queer till proven otherwise. This is a beautiful track that I've performed a few times. She's an Australian artist. Everyone check her out. Maribel Inez.
Shout.
To keep it all bottled up inside of you, just let it rain, tears of champagne, it's called the liquid truth. If he can make you feel the love the way he used to, then I think it's time to let it go. Your eyes been telling me all, the way you treat it really shows. Oh, baby girl, shout. It's secrets. Who's been forcing that mouth? Keep it. Oh, baby girl, shout. It's secrets. Confession isn't a point of weakness. Oh, baby girl, shout. Oh, baby girl. Wearing your heart on your sleeve, does he treat you like Gucci? But tell me honestly, don't have to make it feel like it's so better than it seems. If you need me, if you need me, then I think it's time to let him go. Your eyes are telling me all, the way you treat it really shows. Keep it, oh baby girl, shout.
You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. We are here to put the B in LGBTI, also the P and the Q, and whatever other term you feel comfortable with if you're multigender attracted, the bi plus umbrella.
I prefer XYZ. Add me on Instagram.
My name's Ruby.
And I'm James.
And we are joined by Fembot XYZ. Your Australian Fembot, it's Z.
I prefer the ring of XYZ.
We've all been indoctrinated to Americanism. That's what it is. Anyway, we're joined by Zach McSweeney, otherwise known as Fembot XYZ, who is a XYZ, who is a bisexual drag queen.
Yes.
Who most recently performed 2 days ago, I think you mentioned it was.
I didn't actually perform. I was just hovering about the party, you know, hanging out. You know, I suppose it is a bit of a performance, just walking through,
yeah,
greeting people.
So do you often, like, go to events in character?
Yeah, and, you know, just rock up, you know, have a few drinks with some people, smile, take a few photos.
Yeah. through a straw, of course. Don't mess up the lippy.
I don't even care these days.
We know how to reapply, James. What do you think women do?
Well, they make that good lipstick these days.
Yes.
Jeffree Star.
Less fish scales. Not Jeffree Star.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm terrible. I'm a terrible human being.
Kate Von D. She's real good.
That's true.
Lipstick's really nice. It's frustrating, isn't it? We're like, I like your product, but you're such an awful person.
I know. It's like,
why couldn't you just kept quiet and just not be a bigot?
It's like Azealia Banks. It's like, I really loved her music until I found out that she killed chickens. You know, she has a literal, like, slaughterhouse in her house, a room where she slaughters chickens. Also, apparently, it's what I've been told.
Well, also, she went on a few pretty transphobic rants.
That's true, yeah.
Twitter,
that as well.
Yeah, but also the chickens.
The chickens?
Are you a vegetarian?
No. I probably should be.
So before the break, we were just talking about issues around bi erasure in the drag space and how people were much more accepting before you moved into the drag space.
Yes.
And that this idea that you could be a bisexual drag person is just not really a part of it, despite drag being a very multi-gender attraction kind of a deal.
I've got this weird idea. Wouldn't it be cool if when people say what their sexual orientation is, people accept it and don't argue?
Wouldn't that be so revolutionary?
I have to write this down. This is an amazing idea.
What if people knew themselves better than strangers knew them?
I'm just imagining people out there going, but how would that work, James?
How does this work? If you think you know how this would work, you can message us on 0427JOY949 or email us on air@joy.org.au. You can also shoot us a message on Facebook at Triple Bypass or on Twitter at Triple Bypass. We are manning the social medias. And, of course, if you've just tuned in now being like, this sounds like an interesting conversation, I want to know more, the podcast will be up later this week by our very beautiful podcaster, Lou. You can find that on iTunes. Don't forget to rate and review or on the website.
Lou needs to be on air more often. Lou has an amazing voice for radio.
Lou is a famous... We're coming up to another radiothon in June, which is why we're heading up to, and Lou was on our last radiothon, and Lou can do a great radio voice. Unlike my radio voice, which is brought on by spending my long Easter break at Confest and inhaling half a paddock worth of dust.
I thought you were going to say beer or something, and I was going to be like, oh.
I was volunteering.
Dust. Anybody?
Dust.
No.
Dust.
Dust. Dust. Anyone?
No,
dust.
No one. No one.
It was
got
a Little
that.
Britain reference.
I know. No one got that. Sorry, Zach. Didn't get that.
I'm revealing my age.
Or mine, since we did.
True.
So I suppose that. So we just played Maribel. Music video for Shout. It's a great music video. I recommend everyone checks it out. It's very 90s kind of kaleidoscopic colors. And
I just love it.
Geometric.
It's very Recovery. Do you remember Recovery?
No.
The video is very Recovery. It was like a Sunday morning music show.
And Rage. I know.
People would always perform in front of big polystyrene lettering of the name of the band.
I love that. It was called Recovery on a Sunday morning.
That's exactly what it was.
And was it chill music?
Not really. Well, it was just stuff that was popular at the time. With the young people.
Those youngins. I've lost track of what young people are into these days. It's very sad. I know Instagram, but what do you mean I can do all these different things on it? Nope, that's too much work. I can't relearn things. I'm having to try and find and contemplate a world without Facebooks, and Zuckerberg's turn out to be like, you know, an evil genius.
Oh, my God.
He's been stealing all my data. He didn't steal it. Apparently, I gave it to him. That's my fault. Anyway, so when it comes to, like, how does one, when you decided that, you know, are there drag apprenticeships? Do you get taken under someone's...
open mic nights.
Oh, hello.
Do you like... So how, when you get started, do you just rock up at, you know, Molly's or Circuit or Honcho Disco or the 86
Cabaret? It's quite literally that. Yeah, for those that want to do drag, get in face, maybe do it with a friend, do it for fun, go out, rock up to a club and just start running amok. You know, tell people who you are. You know, make an idiot out of yourself, make people remember who you are. That's essentially how you do it.
Are there tutorials on YouTube for how to do it?
There's tutorials for everything. Are you kidding me? There's a tutorial on XTube of how to tuck. And I've watched it, and it was quite disgusting. But it exists.
I was going to say, I would suggest the name suggests the general process.
Yes.
Is there a fine art action?
Do we bring it up? Do we start talking about the tuck?
Look, it'll entirely be hypothetical for me, and so I'm not sure just how much of that I want to
do. We want to hear from you, listeners. Do you want to hear about how I tuck my penis into myself?
I'm just thinking of that, speaking of references, I just think of the Mighty Boosh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So let's not, maybe let's not. So,
okay, we'll keep it PG.
Is it like, to pick up a show, do you start like, okay, you know how to lip sync to at least one song that you could perform?
You don't, here's the thing about drag, you don't, a performance could be literally walking through the club, you know, being a glamazon.
Like a host kind of a thing.
Yeah. Or you can take some photos and post them online. You can make a YouTube video. There's many different ways to actually communicate your drag and perform. And I feel as though, like RuPaul says that, you know, you're born naked and the rest is drag. So I feel like my drag, you know, is literally this pink top that I'm wearing right now. And I, you know, was like looking at myself in the mirror on the elevator on the way up. And I was like, yeah, I'm looking fly, you know, feeling really comfortable in this. You know, that's drag, you know. But to get into like the actual performing side of things, it's there really isn't a standard, you know, particular formula. I got into drag because I emailed the first club that I ever performed at. I emailed them with a photo of me, you know, with I painted my face once. One time I took a photo on Photo Booth on my MacBook. I emailed that photo to the club and I was booked the next week to perform.
Look, it's true. You do look pretty darn good.
Ah, thank you.
So what is your Instagram?
My Instagram is fembotxyz. That's it.
Or Z if you're Australian and use our letters correctly.
FEMBOTXYZ.
Or if you want to be really, if you want to go phonetic, it's gziz.
We actually, and also you can follow Fembot on Facebook. We actually
I love you, James. You're hilarious.
we shared a link that you posted up of your promo for this. You do a lot of references to anime and so like Japanese culture.
Yeah, I'm what I call like a faux anime
weebo.
Lover.
You're a weebo.
What's a weebo?
So a white person obsessed with Japanese culture.
Yeah, I'm so faux. It's not even funny. Like I love faux, like the dish, but I'm also so faux, like the fur. I'm inspired by anime, but I don't really watch it. I'm very much one of those Studio Ghibli. I've seen like four anime films and then that's it. So I know I'm going to be getting a lot of hate because of that, but you know what? I don't care.
It's more, you appreciate the aesthetic.
Yeah, exactly.
The big eyes. And
I just don't have time. Yeah. You know how many episodes are in anime series?
Oh, yeah, no, there are some that's only like 20 episodes, like it's a one season. Then you look at something like Naruto or Bleach, like that'll be episode 342.
I'm not going there. Like I look at the episode count and I'm like, oh, I'm too far behind now. I can't catch up.
I feel uncomfortable opening like a big jar of yogurt because it's too much of a commitment in case it all goes off before I finish. Like I can't handle a show. It's like you've got to watch 360 episodes to see if he actually saves the universe. I'm like,
you don't
no.
eat the whole yogurt all in one go?
Not if it's a big tub again, a big tub.
Well, you can bathe in it.
I could, but I don't want to.
So this is just reminding me of expiry dates on condoms and how that just puts pressure on you. maybe I'll just buy the smaller packet.
James is taking it there. Are we talking about my tuck now? I'm joking.
Actually, speaking of, that's a very good time to go to a break.
Yes!
Look, coming up this song is a cover of The Presets' This Boy's in Love.
I have to do a little bit of an intro for this.
Please.
This song is a cover by the band Cult Kiss. They're amazing. Look them up. It's Cult with two K's.
So K-U-L-K-Y-S-S.
Yes. And the lead singer from Cult Kiss is, you know, I'm just going to say she's bisexual, even though she doesn't like to, you know, refer to herself as that, but she is.
She's multigender attracted. She's,
yeah, exactly. Mm. But she is my drag mother.
Oh, I need to ask about that term, but first...
Let's listen.
After the break.
You'll never see this place again.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Triple Bypass. We put the B and the P and the Q. And we're the Bi-Plus community, and we are taking over the airwaves along with... My name is Ruby.
And I'm James.
And we are joined by the incredible Zach, or, depending on the night you meet them, Fembot XYZ.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien. That was a cover from the preset song, This Boy's in Love. That cover was done by Cult Kiss, which is a Australian duo, I think.
Yes. Electronic duo from Melbourne.
Fantastic. Keeping it local. And it's Cult and Kiss, both spelt with A-K, and the Kiss is K-Y-S-S. So check them out. Really beautiful track.
I just love him.
I can see why. Do I have to admit, like, is this a song you can drag to?
Oh, I'm planning on doing it very soon.
It's very robotic. So where did the aspect? So we've been talking a lot about Zach's journey between from being a identifying as straight boy who I made out with at a minus 18 party because he was there looking for straight girls, or at least bi girls as well.
Yeah.
And found one, obs. And then moved on to identifying as bisexual, and then moved on to drag, and actually had, you mentioned before that there's a lot more issues with people accepting the fact that you were bi when you were not in the drag community. So once you moved into drag, they're like, oh, so you're gay.
Yeah. So
the whole bi now gay
I
later.
Suppose it's like that whole like, people believing you when you say that you're bisexual or something that isn't either homosexual or heterosexual. Anything that's non-monosexual, yeah. So as soon as I started identifying as bisexual, people were like, oh, yeah, okay, cool, Zach, yeah. And then I even brought up the percentage thing because I was like, oh, but I don't feel like completely in the middle and I don't know how to explain that. So I'm going to bring up the percentage thing. And I said that I was 30%, you know, 30% straight. And that was the only way I could really describe it. And then I felt like I had to prove that I was bi. Mm. And I felt like I'm like, oh, I'm not, you know, getting with the amount of girls that I am guys. And it's like, oh, I have to like
there's
keep
so much,
up.
There's so much bookkeeping involved in being bi.
There's so much work I need to do. But then I think it really boils down to when I was in school and people would call me gay, I would say, but like, I don't feel comfortable. Like, even if, like, I feel like I am a little bit, but I don't feel comfortable being gay. I'm not completely gay. Like, I don't want to say that I am. So it got to the point where I really repressed that deep down into my soul. And I was like, I'm not that. Like, I'm clearly into women. That must mean I'm not gay. And then I identified as straight. I fully believed that I was straight because I'd repressed it that much. And then it wasn't until I moved to Melbourne, you know, discovered boys and bisexuality and gayness. And then I fell into drag and then my whole world exploded. And, you know, my femininity like erupted out of my soul. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on? And, you know, it's fed into my gender now. And I have a lot of people to thank for that. Just like a lot of people that I've met in the community, specifically my best friend, Malibu, who is a, she's, you know, just basically queer in all aspects. They're a transgender and just like queer in all senses of the word. And they've helped me so much on my journey of self-discovery, really, and being such a support for me in the drag community. But my drag mother, Ramaran from Cult Kiss, the track that just played, she was the one that told me to do drag. She was like, hey, do drag. You seem to be interested. And I was like, okay. And then I got into it straight away, pretty much within a few weeks from that.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. Sent an email.
Yeah. So that's my journey in a kind of like a nutshell.
Well, if anyone is curious about checking out drag, I know that both Molly's Bar, which is Above Circuit, and Honto Disco, which is at the 86 Cabaret, not Honto Disco, 86 Cabaret, which is hosted. I just go there for Honcho. So that's what my mind is.
Oh, yeah, Honcho. Oh, amazing.
But yeah, but they both do baby drag shows. So that's for drag queens are just starting out, still wearing their training wheels, still trying to suss out themselves and find
themselves. Actually Molly's Above Circuit.
Yeah.
So the 86 is Honcho Disco.
No, but 86 has...
Oh, they do?
They do, because they have... Honcho Disco's on Thursdays.
Yeah.
But on other nights, they do have baby drag as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you can go more than one night.
Oh, my goodness. It seems that I need to be schooled. Honcho is amazing. Like, I would recommend that anyone that is exploring, you know, queerness in general, go to Honcho, especially the pronouns thing. I've had so much issues, like, you know, being, you know, brought up in a very small town, you know, had all of the binaries drilled into my brain from an early child, you know. I've struggled particularly with the pronouns because I'm an idiot. So spending a few nights at Honcho where everyone is pretty much referred to as they, them, it'll really give you a sense of what it's like to be in this beautiful community.
And I'm to the point now where I just assume everyone is non-binary, multigender, attracted till they tell me otherwise, because I just feel it's like, you know, just a lot safer. I had a friend recently ask me if I knew anyone, you know. She was looking at getting back onto the dating scene, if I knew anybody. I'm like, oh, sir, are you interested in men, women, non-binary, one or two? She goes, oh, men, but good of you, good on you for asking. I'm like, well, I do not assume.
Yeah.
One little habit that I've gotten into is whenever I'm like running any kind of, because I do a discussion group for bisexuals every month and I occasionally arrange other things. I always, when organizing people to introduce themselves, I always just start off by, you know, using, you know, in giving my pronouns. Yeah. Because it's just like,
that's becoming pretty common.
Yeah. Even though people, you know, would look at me and most people would assume that I use masculine pronouns, which I do. You know, it's just good to normalize that.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think even, like, for me, like, I've been going through some of my own, like, discoveries around this idea of gender fluidity and my own sense of self. As Zach, you were talking about earlier as well, when you talked about moments where, when you were performing drag, we're like, no, I actually feel very comfortable in the idea of being a woman right now.
Yeah, it's
not all the time, but
not all the time. It's like moments. It just flashes, and I feel like it's really important to pick up on those moments when that happens, because that, like, really tapping into those feelings and knowing who you are, knowing thyself, will help you in understanding the trans community in particular and other communities surrounding that.
But also it'll help you understand bisexuality.
Yes, bisexuality, of course.
Because once you start to understand that gender is for a lot of people not as a lot of it is constructed or can be as a result of constructs and kind of the barriers that are placed around us from a very, very young age in this world, like in ways it's actually quite hard to process still sometimes.
Yeah.
But once you can understand that's not real, it makes sense. Like, why would you only like one? And I'm not saying everyone has to, but, like, you know, why would people not like more than one?
Mm.
Like, why would we think everyone is only attracted to one gender?
Yeah.
Because there's so much more.
I have so much happiness and faith in the future of, like, the youth that are coming up.
Because they're so fluid.
They're rolling between all the things. But you know what it is? I feel like everyone was sort of fluid to start off with, and now because, you know, these children are being raised in this world where we can basically choose who our teachers are through social media, that allows us to be, you know, anything we really want is normalized for us, and that's a beautiful thing. We can really find who our true selves are faster.
And wouldn't it be great as well if these young people growing up also didn't learn to value masculinity over femininity?
Yeah.
And basically, let's just end sexism while we're at it as well.
Well, yeah, like I was saying.
That would be so nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that just be so good? Oh, gosh. But I think, like, a lot of that stuff is just really due to that trickle down. And, like, these binaries that exist, they've only been around since the 19th freaking century. These are very much colonial, like, you know, male, female, this is what it is. Like, a lot of other cultures had multiple genders. I think in some readings, I think that, you know, in ancient, like, ancient Hebrew texts, they found, like, identifiers of six different genders. So,
yeah.
It's all very... Now, we do have to wrap up quite soon. Coming up next is Local Roots with Jason bringing some of the best of Australian local music. And next week, you can join us. We're interviewing Ro Allen, the Victorian Gender and Gender and Sexuality Commissioner, which will be very official.
We'll
be on our best behaviour. I'm very curious to see what songs the Commissioner chooses to play. By the way, the Commissioner's preferred pronoun is being called the Commissioner or Commish, which I am all about. I like that idea. Why have
my preferred pronoun is potato.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us. Now, Potato has been active on a lot of shows. Have you got any coming up?
I perform bi-weekly at Circuit Bar on Smith Street. I'm performing next Thursday. Come on down and, you know, I might give you a lap dance, I might not.
I love that. And also, I'm very curious to see a bi drag queen because I'm sure there are a few out there, but you're the only one I know
I don't
of.
Think I am. I think everyone is a little bit.
Ooh, everyone. sometimes or a little bi. Or a lot. Oh, I'm right. I'm a flaming bisexual. So I like to call it anyway. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week at 9 on a Tuesday. This has been Triple Bypass. And, of course, you're listening to Joy 94.9. Have a great night.
Yes, queen.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.